Good morning, everybody. This is Julie with the Iowa Healthcare Association. Welcome to our quarterly VA Optum call. For those folks on the line with the VAs and with Optum, if you have a speaking role, if you could please click unmute on the bottom left of your Zoom screen so that you can speak. If you do not have a speaking role, if you could please mute your line down on the bottom left. I'm going to give everybody that have a speaking role a moment to get unmuted, and I'll take a quick roll call. Bottom left will mute and unmute your line. If you are a participant, if you could please keep your line muted so we can keep the background noise down, that would be great. Okay, let's see who we have on the call. Do we have Susan Schluter from Omaha VA with us? Again, if you are a speaker, if you could hit your unmute button on the bottom left. How about Roxanne McGee in Des Moines? How about Savannah Lacoste, Iowa City? Lindsay Rhodes, Iowa City? Lisa Seeley, Sioux Falls? Shane, Optum?
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome, Shane.
Morning, thank you.
Do you have some claims folks on with you as well? If they're on the line, if they could unmute. Do we have some claims folks with Optum?
All right, I will reach out and see if I can get a hold of anybody.
Okay. We'll give it another minute as folks join. If you're just joining us, please, if you're in a speaking role with one of the VAs, if you could please, on the bottom left, unmute your line. If you have a speaking role, unmute it, and please go ahead and announce yourself when you enter.
Good morning. This is Charlotte McGrath. I'm with the VA, the National Office of Community Care.
Which, you with the National Office, out of where?
Washington, D.C.
Okay. Welcome. Susan Schluter, Omaha, are you on yet? If you're just joining and you have a speaking role, if you could please, at the bottom left of your screen, hit unmute. Everybody will come in muted. Do we have Omaha VA with us?
Hi, Susan Schluter's here.
Excellent. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you.
How about Roxanne in Des Moines?
Yep, I'm here.
Welcome. Savannah in Iowa City.
I think she's working on it. I just sent her a message, so she maybe check back after a bit and see if she's in.
Okay, and I think Lindsay out of Iowa City is going to join her as well. How about anybody out of Sioux Falls? We'll give Iowa City a chance to get in here. Shane, were you able to get any of your claims representatives on the line?
Yes, two of the three are finishing up a call with the VA, and they're going to jump on quick, and then the third individual is dialing in as we speak.
Oh, good. Excellent. You're quick.
Hello, it's Savannah from Iowa City.
Hi, Savannah. Welcome. Do you have Lindsay with you by chance?
I do not, but she may be getting on as well.
Okay, perfect. We're just letting a few of the claims representatives from Optum dial in.
Sounds good. And there is someone from the Iowa City payment side also that's going to be joining. Her name is Mary.
All right. Do we have some folks from the claims representatives for Optumon? If you've dialed in, if you could please go to the bottom left of your screen and unmute your line if you have a speaking role.
Good morning. This is Wayne Morgan from the Optum's claim team.
Welcome, Wayne.
Yeah, I wasn't unmuted earlier when I announced myself. Sorry about that. I didn't unmute at the bottom.
That's okay. That's why I announce it.
Yeah, the Zoom was a little challenging getting in this morning for some reason.
I think it's, I know simultaneously here in my office, we have two calls going, and on the other call, we have close to 1,500 people on it.
Oh, Lord. So you're at your max, right, almost?
We have four lines, and they all have different maxes, but that one... Yeah, that's a big call. That's a COVID call going on. Any other folks from the claims team on with Optum? Okay, I think we'll go ahead and get started here. We do have a lot of questions today, so we want to thank all of our participants from the VAs and our Optum folks for being on today to help answer these questions and help the members out here. Questions were forwarded at the end. I do have a couple that came in a little late. I'll go ahead and ask those, and if folks need to get back to me, we'll deal with that and I can get the answers out. So our first question today is, I continue to have problems with claims denying for no authorization submitted on claims. This has been an ongoing problem since the last phone conference. Unfortunately, what I have been doing now is submitting the claims again by paper with a copy of the VA authorization. In talking to one VA rep I called about this problem, I was told she could see the consult, but not the VA form 10-7080. Do we have one of the VAs that can answer that?
Do we know if where this question came from, if it was one from out of Des Moines or Iowa City, just out of curiosity. I guess I'm just wondering, because I know here in Des Moines, we should be pretty well caught up with authorizations. I know that we did have some backlog that we had been working through. So this question could be out of that. But if there's some authorizations that we're missing that still haven't gotten out, then certainly we want to know that so we can get those out. And then I guess also I would just use this as an opportunity to recommend that the agencies pursue access to HSRM where they can go in and see their authorizations. And we're faxing those out as we're processing them. But in the event that maybe a fax doesn't go through or an agency wants to go in and look at something after the fact, they can go in and look at their authorizations. So I guess I would also recommend that. And so then that way when they get the referral, if there is a lag time in that authorization coming out, then they could access it through their own access of HSRM.
And this is Savannah, and I would mimic that we're also using HSRM. However, we are also still faxing out our authorizations after created. However, if an agency is having struggles with claims being denied because of no authorization on file, please contact the VA that veteran belongs to because we can look and see what we can see on our side.
Excellent.
There was a question in the Skype also about HSRM and sending the link. I can send the instructions to you, Julie, if you want, and you could distribute out if that's the easiest.
Okay. Yep. That would be great. All right. I also have claims that have paid, then money recouped with the denial of missing/incomplete/invalid beginning and ending dates of the period billed. I cannot seem to find anyone that knows what that denial actually means. I have 11 claims that have denied for that reason.
If this is Wayne, is it possible that I could get those 11 claims so I could do some review?
Do we know if those claims were sent to Optum or to VA?
Let's see here. I don't know why it's not pulling up for me this morning. Ah, here we go. So let me have a quick look. I did send those over, Wayne, and those came back saying those was a VA issue, all those claims.
So one thing that we are realizing, this kind of came out last week or maybe a week and a half ago when we were working with one of our home care agencies. So on that VA form 107080, there's three dates. There's a referral date, a first appointment date, and then there's an expiration date. And when we rolled this out with HSRM, when I had asked what the first date would be that billing would consider, we were under the impression that it was that first appointment date. Well, now claims had come back denied, and I'm wondering if this is the code they're getting because they're pulling from the referral date. So, for example, if the referral was sent out on March 12th, but the care started on March 1st, the referral date's March 12th, but the first appointment date is March 1st, it's pulling as March 12th as the first date. So I'm in the process of getting my staff a different level of access to HSRM so we can go back and change those dates to reflect that first date, if that makes sense. So I can't say for sure that that's what's happening in this case, but since the code is invalid beginning and ending dates, I'm wondering if that could maybe be it.
So this would be Carroll, Iowa. So,
yes,
I don't know.
Yep, that's the agency that I had been talking to and myself been talking to is Carroll Area Nursing.
So can I just clarify from your statement to make sure I heard it correctly? So you're saying the first appointment date is prior to the begin date of the referral?
In some cases, it could be.
Okay. Because I had a similar issue in one of my Connecticut providers, and they had to update the referral effective date to be in line with the first appointment date.
So is that what needs to happen?
Yes, ma'am. Because what that home health provider situation there was that their first appointment was the first appointment date for the veteran, but the effective dates on the referral were after the first appointment date.
Right.
So you may have a similar situation here. That's why I wanted to make sure I was clear on what you were saying.
Okay.
And in Iowa City, we've had similar issues, and if those are the cases, the agency needs to reach out to the VA, and we will get that updated. However, as Roxanne said, a lot of our staff do not have access to this, so we are working on getting access for all staff to update these.
So okay. Going forward, it'll be caught on the VA side of things?
Yeah, once we have the access we need to edit that one field in HSRM, then it'll, moving forward, it won't be, you know, we'll be able to correct it on the front end instead of having to go back.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Next question. I continue to have claims denying stating they needed to be submitted to TriWest, yet I have authorizations that come from the VA. I have written a dispute letter on one of those denials and submitted this person's VA off showing VA should pay. I also have a claim which I sent to TriWest. They stopped paying, and now I need that authorization I got from the VA to backdate when TriWest stopped paying. And I believe this is going to be the same for out of Carol.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if that's something that we've had maybe worked out within the last week or two since that question was submitted. I know Danette has reached out to me. We've had some emails back and forth, and I've also, I think she's also been in contact with some of the staff. So if this is still an issue, then I just ask that she shoot me an email or give me a call and give me that information, and we can take a closer look at that.
Okay, thank you. Next question. We are unable to bill due to an error on their end and entering the incorrect taxonomy code. We have been dealing with this for over 3 months now. Is there someone on this call that can help? Any ideas on taxonomy if that's not correct?
I would need to see some claims. Are they saying that potential claims were denied because the taxonomy was incorrect in our system?
It sounds like it, yes.
There's not a lot of details here. Can anybody get some claims that we can research for this taxonomy issue?
I sure can. I will reach out to her after this call. Absolutely.
And you'll send those to Shane, and Shane can just forward those over to us?
Yes. Perfect. Just like I had been. Yeah, that works great.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Let me make a note. All right, next question. I've received the VA GEC fee schedule, FYI 2020, from Roxanne, who works with the VA Central here in Des Moines. This fee schedule is the finalized reimbursement rates for home health, which is effective 10/1/19. It is stated that the VA fee schedule is the same for services provided through both the Community Care Network and the Veterans Care Agreements. My question is, why are the reimbursement rates from Optum, United Healthcare for Homemaker, which is an S's and SAM, $4.13 per 15 minutes, is and not the $9.17 per 15 minutes? My claims from Department of Veterans Affairs have been reprocessed with the new rate, but Optum United Health continues to reimburse at $4.13. And I think we had several of these same questions come through on the rates.
Yeah, my assumption is this is the new revised fee schedule that the VA sent, which mainly encompassed the homemaker home health services. We're still waiting. We sent some clarifying questions to the VA regarding the fee schedule. We did see some potential rates that were lower. So once we get all those clarification questions back from the VA, I think they've confirmed the effective date, then we'll start doing the adjustments on those claims for the impacted impacted increases.
So Wayne, do they need to do anything for processing, or you'll do a sweep and catch all those?
No, ma'am. The ones that are impacted, the VA told us to go back and adjust. That's the ones that we will adjust. And they encompass these codes here.
So you'll adjust it on
your
end?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you very much. Next question. I think we may have clarified, when will the new rates be paid out by Optum, which you just clarified. As of February invoices, the VA is paying at the updated rates, but Optum not yet. And will Optum be going back and reprocessing? We answered. The Optum invoice is submitted. Is anyone else seeing claims kickback for authorization absent when the authorization is on the claim entered? We are seeing a lot of this. Anything on the kickback on the authorization absent? I think we answered the first two of this question, but not the last one yet.
So I'm assuming that the agency billed the authorization they received from the VA on the claim. But for some reason, maybe Optum doesn't have that authorization that from the VA as of yet. If I could get some claim examples for the authorization, then we can definitely nail down what the issue is.
Claim examples to Optum. Okay, I'll reach out and get that for you.
Okay.
I have a lot of questions about the VACCN billing. So far, everything I've sent that has been denied, invalid value codes, I can't reach provider services, line is either busy or I have to request a callback.
So can they send me some claim examples for this as well?
Okay. Got it.
I just want to make sure that everybody has the correct phone number. It's 1-844-839-6108. I'll put it in the chat too, but
Okay, perfect. That would be great. Next question, VA. We have some members we are billing VA directly for, not Optum. When I have a claim-related question for those members, I call the number on the EOB. That number goes directly to Optum. How do I get in touch with someone from VA when I have a claims issue? I did reach out to a contact at VA, and they kept giving me a number that goes to Optum. I have had some claims denied for no authorization when I have authorization, but cannot seem to get the right person to discuss the issue.
So are the veterans still truly under a VA authorization and not an Optum authorization? It's just really not clear here. It looks like they're just bouncing back and forth between your call center and our call center.
The VA phone number that should be used is 877-881-7618.
So if it truly is an issue with a claim for Optum, then I could definitely, if they send you some claim examples of claims that have denied for referral, then we can investigate that. But it's not really, they're not really saying for sure if it's a VA issue or an Optum issue. So I think that's where we need to clarify.
Do we have someone on from Webster County Health? If you'll unmute in the bottom left, you would be able to answer that. Anyone with Webster? Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, I can hear you.
Yep. Hi. Yep. So those members we are still billing directly to VA, not to Optum.
Which VA are you? Des Moines or?
Des Moines, yes. Sorry.
That's okay. So Roxanne, should she get a hold of you or just call the 877-881-7618?
Is that the number that's on the EOB?
Taking them to Optum.
I'm just wondering what that number actually is. But yeah, I would say call that VA billing call number. You could also send me an email and describe what the issues that you're having, and then I can see if I can reach out to somebody also.
Okay. Yep. I will double check if that was the phone number that was listed or not, and then email.
Do you have Roxanne's email?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Thanks.
Next question. Optum, we are told by VA that skilled authorizations include both skilled nursing and therapies, speech OT, PT, but recently had a client on Optum that we had to request therapy in addition to skilled nursing. What is the correct process?
So in general, for the VA side, so the standard episodes of care, the SEACs that we use, are typically like an unbundled or bundled skilled episode of care. That does include skilled nursing, in-home PT, OT, speech, etc. However, the SEAC does not guide the care, the consult or order should. So just because the SEAC says it covers PT or OT, you would want to ensure that you have an order from the VA to provide those services. However, it may be able to be covered on the same authorization.
Thank you. Another question for Optum. Requires OASIS similar to Medicare to generate a HCPCS code for billing as well as the treatment authorization code. Is that required on the claim or just the Optum authorization number? And the second part of that, currently our billing software has not figured out how to get both on one claim. Do you need both on the claim?
It's my understanding that we just need the referral from the VA. I'm not aware that we would need the treatment authorization code, which is usually used for Medicare and TRICARE.
So the referral authorization from the VA then?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Also, do we need to submit the wrap and final in the same way as Medicare under the new PDGM every 30 days?
Yeah, we're following the same new guidelines as Medicare for the PGM.
Same guidelines for PDGM, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Our Homemaker Services billed to Optum as well?
Yes, they are with an approved referral.
And I'm going to just make a statement. You correct me if I'm interpreting it wrong. My understanding is all referrals go to the VA to get the referral number, and Optum is the payer, whether it's skilled or unskilled. Is that the best way to say that by chance?
Yes, ma'am. That's correct.
Okay. Next question. Non-OASIS clients, Homemaker, Home Care Aid, or Homemaker, are clients. Only clients do not require OASIS. How are we to bill those clients as they will not generate wraps or final claims?
They billed individual services based on the SEAC and the referral that they were issued.
So they don't need an OASIS?
No, ma'am.
Next question. Our agency has finally seen some of our claims being reprocessed with the recent reimbursement rate discrepancy, but at this point I have no live person to contact with billing issues at the three phone numbers that have been provided to me by VA in Des Moines. And then the three numbers are listed. We have an 844, an 866, and an 877. If there's claims issues for Des Moines, what number should they call?
The 877 number is the general billing claims number.
So 877-881-7618.
Yeah.
And that's for VA though.
Yes, that's for all VA.
Okay.
And the 844 number is the Optum customer service number. 844-839-6108, that's in the chat.
Okay. Next number, Optum is paying us at the lower rate. They announced revised rates. We already answered that one.
It's the same as number five.
So you're waiting for your answers, and then you'll do a sweep and get that handled. Next question, we took the class for HSRM on 2/4/20 and have been trying ever since to get logins. We contacted customer support and were told it could take 30 days to receive. We have since contacted customer support and Savannah, who told us to follow up with support several times and have gotten no response. When and how can we access the HSRM?
Yeah, this is Savannah. If I can get which agency or who submitted this question, I have also reached out to the HSRM support team for VA with little to minimal response. So I'm continuing to work that challenge because multiple of our agencies are having challenges with that.
So Savannah, I will forward you that email.
Okay, excellent.
And you'll follow up. Okay. Next question, what site do we use to check claim status?
Would this be status of Optum or VA, do we think, or do we know?
I don't know. Do we have anybody on from Virginia Gay Hospital that can answer that? If you are, unmute yourself in the bottom left.
For the VA, claims can be seen on VA's customer engagement portal. We shorten it to SEP, and someone put the registration number in the chat, and that is for VA claims.
Yep, I just put the information in the chat box with the website for that.
Excellent. And if after the call you want to forward that to me in an email, I'll get it to my folder.
Okay.
I'm new at this Zoom stuff, but I think I was told there's a way to get these questions out of the chat. But if you'd forward that, that'd be great. Next question, I'm having an issue with being notified that a patient is transferred to CCN from VA, which is causing an issue with the assessment dates. Is there a way around this if we have to backdate a payer setup / authorization?
So this is Savannah in Iowa City. I don't necessarily have a good answer for that. However, my biggest thing would be is as an agency, please do not provide services to the veteran without an authorization just because of this issue. If there is a change in payer sources, that can cause lots of complications on your guys' payment side. So the best thing is just not to provide services until an authorization is with you. Unfortunately for our veterans, that's not the best. However, at the same time, I want to ensure that you're going to get paid for your services.
Thank you. Next question, can we check status of verbal orders for reverts? And then when we call, they state they do not give them, but policy states we need them.
Do you know what they mean when they say, can we check status of verbal orders or for reverts?
I think they meant recerts, maybe, okay. When they're at a recertification window.
Okay. So I know that this has been an issue here in Des Moines with our primary care teams, and I have sent some emails to the nurse manager over there just providing some education that this is some, you know, this is a requirement, guideline that the home care agencies need to follow. And at the time when they're calling for the verbal order, the order and the authorization is already in place. I don't know if this question came out of the Des Moines area, but I'm hoping that maybe there's been some improvement in this. But certainly, if not, I can continue to work with our primary care teams and provide some re-education on this. We don't, you know, if this is a policy you guys need to follow, we want to make sure that we're doing what we can to so you guys can practice within your own guidelines and regulations.
It is a Des Moines provider, yes.
Okay.
And I know that upon DIA, when they come through, you know, they're looking for that they can get a citation for not having those in the chart. So.
Okay. I know here at our facility, we had recently had some, I guess, performance improvement type stuff, and some of that was revolving around verbal orders, like within our own facility, the care received within our own facility. So I think some of that has kind of maybe scared off some of the nurses to think that they can't give this kind of verbal order. So I think that might kind of been the root of the issue, but I'll continue to educate them and let them know that this isn't quite the same thing.
Okay, perfect.
Roxanne, it's Savannah. What, or anybody can tell me, what are they actually asking for a verbal order for? My concern is that it may not be an Iowa City agent. However, I'm not sure that Iowa City would give any verbal orders either, because we have lots of policies in place that prohibit that.
So my understanding, and anybody can pipe in and correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding is that the home care agencies, per their regulations and guidelines, have to get a verbal order. So once they receive a referral and an authorization to start the home care services, they'll call and ask the clinic nurse for a verbal order to do that. And so, I mean, so it's like a 10-second call where they say, yep, approved, or yes, I give the verbal order given or whatever, and then phone call's done and they proceed and go about the care. So the order is already in the computer and the authorization has already been received.
So the staff are just verifying that, yes, I see it, yes, services are able to be provided?
That's my understanding. So yeah, like, okay, I said, anybody else can pipe in and correct me if I'm wrong, but that's my understanding.
So yeah, they work under everybody for home care works under a physician's order, so they have to have orders. And when those, and I don't know how long the off they are getting, whether you're given 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, but at recert time, when it's up, they work within that 5-day window to get it recerted. And so at that point, they need another order if they're going to continue to care for the veteran. So that's where that would be coming in. Next question, we just want to know when they're going to do the billing adjustment. And then the following question is the same thing. How soon are they going to implement new billing rates? I think we answered that at number 5. But just a clarifying question to Wayne. Do you have an expected date of when you think that you'll have whatever answers you need and you can start reprocessing those claims?
No, ma'am, I don't, but I can get with my leadership to see if they've gotten the information back from the VA back, and I'll send that back through Shane to let him know.
Okay, and Shane, if you'll pass that on, that'd be great to me.
Yes, ma'am.
Next question, VA are still running 3 to 4 months behind on paying our claims. What steps are they taking to get caught up on paying these claims? It's hard to do AR when our claims are not paid yet.
Is it possible to get the providers 10 and MPI and some claim examples for this one as well, so I can do the research?
I think this one's VA specific, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm assuming anyway. I believe this is a VA issue.
It is, and it would be Des Moines.
Okay. All right.
Mary, are you on from the VA payment side? Would you be able to speak to this question?
Yes, I'm on. The thing is, when the claims are sent in and they have the authorization number and it comes into our system, and as long as all the numbers match up and there is an auth, it auto pays it. So it's not, I don't see how there would be like a lag time. The only thing I can think of is maybe like, the number isn't right or something's with the auth, that might be holding up the claim. So if I had specific claims to look up, I could look into it further.
I'll get you some specific claims. Should I send it through Roxanne or to you specifically, Mary?
Whatever's fine. You can send them directly to me. I got it through Savannah, this invite, so I don't know, even though she's out of Iowa City, but because I do both Iowa City and Des Moines.
Okay, so I would not have your email, so if you want to send that email to me, Mary, my email here is my first name, Julie, J-U-L-I-E, at iowahealthcare.org, and I can... get you some. And then we had a couple other ones come in. That was the questions I had submitted ahead of time. We had a few that came in afterwards. And I think you have addressed it, but I'm going to read this one out loud again. A question on the VA Form 107080, approval referral for medical care, referral issue date, expiration date, first appointment date, the payment from the VA Optum are paying off the referral issue date and not the first appointment date. So I think you addressed that, right, Roxanne?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. On this referral, you can see they gave me some dates. You can see there is almost 1 month that is not covered under this referral. So the referral issue date was 4/15. The expiration date was 9/12, but the first appointment was 3/23. So from 3/23 to 4/15, there was a difference in the first appointment on 3/23 and the referral date of 4/15.
Yeah, this is Wayne. That's the same scenario that I discussed earlier.
Okay. Excellent.
So Julie, just FYI, I know I kind of said this, but just want to make sure that I'm clear. Those all have to be manually fixed. So there isn't like a sweep or anything that can fix all those. Those all have to be manually fixed by the staff. So like I said, once we get the access to do that, then we'll be able to do that. So, but it is a manual thing. So just want to let you guys know.
Okay, so for the follow-up on that, so going forward, will you know which ones need fixed or do providers need to reach out and let you know that?
So I don't have a great answer right now. I'm not sure if there's a report within HSRM that we can print out and tackle it that way. Or if we're going to have it, you know, the agencies reach out to us and then we'll fix them as we take the phone calls. To be honest, I'm not 100% sure which way we're going to go yet.
So will you let me know that so I could push that up to membership?
Yes, I can.
And do we have a date by chance that you guys will have access to that?
I am not sure. Our access has been requested, and I every day keep having staff check and see, and so far nothing. But as soon as we get it, we'll get started. We'll get to work on them.
Okay. The last question I have before we open it up. So it sounds like we have a provider that had sent this issue out to both of you. According to a VA rep, and I believe this is Des Moines, I talked to today because of another one of my claims denying. I was told that the new system does not recognize claims in box 6 of the UBO4. You have a date range of greater, if there's a date range greater than 30 days, because if you do, the new system will deny the claim because the system only recognizes a 30-day time frame. Therefore, all of my claims have 1/120 to 1/3120 will deny because greater than 30 days, even if I do not have claims that run to the end of the month. Can we kind of talk about this? I would guess this is going to be systemic across providers, if that's the case. Can they not have more than 30 days? I'm going to guess you're often more than 30 days.
Is that question directed to VA or to Optum?
It's VA, it looks like, and I can tell you this is going to be Des Moines.
That's a question I have to defer to somebody from billing and claims that's familiar with that.
Mary, do you have any insight on that?
Are they actually getting a denial that says they can't bill 30 days?
That's my understanding. If an authorization runs through an entire month, i.e. 1/1 to 1/31, claims will deny since it's one day over 30.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that before. if I could have one to look up specifically to see exactly what it said, but I didn't think that was an issue. I'm not sure though. The only thing I could think of is if it was two auth overlapped, you know, it ended, say, the 23rd, and then the next one was the 24th. That kind of causes an issue.
I'll get you an example, Mary. All right. So those were the prepared questions that came in ahead of time. And I haven't been able to follow along in the chat. Looks like we can a link be sent out for HSRM? I think that may have happened, correct? Did somebody put that link in?
I did also email the information to you, Julie, that you can pass along to the whole group.
Okay. So if we have providers on that want to ask a question, if you want to unmute your phone line on the bottom left of your screen where there's a picture of the handheld receiver, if you want to unmute, you can go ahead and ask a question.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, this is Angie with Therapy Solutions Home Health, and we see all of our VA clients through our Medicare certified agency, so we have to do OASIS on everybody, even homemaking and that type of thing. So I started another agency, it's non-certified. And I have a contract now with the VA. What services can I provide through my non-certified agency?
Hey, Andy, it's Savannah. Shane, have you by chance gotten any response in regards to that? I know she was working on getting credentialed with you guys through for her non-certified portion of the company.
I will look through my emails, but from what I understand, you have the skilled and unskilled services, and like the Medicare certified does the skilled services and the non-Medicare does the unskilled services, if that was my understanding correct in that?
Well, I'm just wondering, so I know I can provide homemaking and I believe home health aides on my non-certified side. What about non-bundled nursing?
So Shane, this would be the typical VA skilled nursing where we're doing medication management, vital signs, chronic disease management, et cetera. That's not necessarily falling under Medicare guidelines. However, the VA has always offered veterans this service.
You can get back to me, Shane, too.
Okay. All right. I will do that. Take away.
Thanks, Angie. Mm-hmm. Do we have another question to unmute? Just hit the bottom left of your screen.
Hi, Julie. This is Penny with Sunnybrook Home Care. And we had a patient that was longstanding chronic management, went into the hospital, came back out, was getting like homemaking before, needed PT, OT, nursing, and a bath aid. There was a little bit of a question because our authorization was through the VA, but these new services would be going through Optum, and this was VA in Iowa City, and they were going to check in on that because she said that the homemaker authorization that and bath aid was under it would still be valid through the end of the auth, which would have been like the end of June or the 1st of June. But the PTOT would be going to Optum. So the VA was paying the homemaker bath aid, and then the new referral would go through Optum. And I just wondered if somebody could maybe clarify that, because otherwise we've got multiple episodes with different payers. And then my next question is just verification. We are not discharging and readmitting for Optum. Is that correct? Thank you.
So in regards to the Iowa City VA, yes, and I would think it would be the same for Des Moines, but I'll let Roxanne speak to that. Because we are changing different payer sources between TriWest, provider agreements, VCAs, Optum, et cetera, you will have veterans that will continue to have different payer sources. hopefully as time goes on, that will be minimized because Iowa City and Des Moines are no longer using TriWest, VCAs and Optum, we are, and then we are trying in Iowa City to make sure they are the same payer sources. However, unfortunately, a lot of times we'll have, let's say, skilled nursing start today. However, physical therapy is needed 3 months down the road, and now we're using Optum or vice versa. So it's a challenge to keep the same payer source. However, we are trying to minimize it.
Yeah, I would agree with what Savannah said there. Right now, we are still using VCAs, but we will be phasing those out, and we will be, you know, slowly integrating Optum on our home care referrals. So when we do that, the time period of when we would do that would likely be at a reauthorization period or when a renewal, an auth renewal is going to be sent out.
And I think the last half of that was they don't need a whole new readmission when payers are switching. Question mark.
I would ask, are you asking that, Julie, if an Oasis is needed?
Yeah, I think the last half of Penny's question was when payers are switching like that, do they have to go out and discharge the old chart and readmit with all new forms?
Okay, yeah, that's going to be a question that Optum will need to answer, I believe, because it's going to be, they're going to be the new payer source.
Okay.
I think we had that discussion earlier on the call with the VA, and I think the VA said that was correct, that when you change the payer, then it's not something that we're requiring or the VA is requiring, but it's a Medicare guideline that you have to discharge and readmit.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Jen from Webster County Health Department. We have been doing OASIS on the VACN patients that we are billing to VA and not Optum. Is there any way to get them to switch over at cert time so that we wouldn't have to discharge and readmit since we have already been collecting OASIS?
I think that's something that the VA would have to determine that. That's not something that Optum would require. We base our payments and reimbursement based on the referral that we're given for the veteran.
Julie, sorry, this is Penny again. Just for follow-up. I thought Iowa Healthcare Association put something out saying that we did not have to discharge and readmit. Did I misunderstand, or is this new information today when moving from TriWest to Optum?
It was our understanding that we didn't have to have a whole new admission. Of course, you'd have to update your sheet on who's being billed with that payer, but unless that's new now. Any feedback from Iowa City or Des Moines?
This is Angie with Therapy Solutions. I hate to bother you guys, but I do all the billing, and we don't have any problems, only when we go from non-episodic to an episodic payer. So if we go from VA to Optum, TriWest to Optum, not a big deal unless it's bundled. So if we go to VA Optum bundled, we always do a new start of care.
So you're, Angie, just to clarify, you're going from non-bundled to bundled when you're saying that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Although I think we, even from TriWest, if we did it at the cert period, we kind of, VA worked with us and they made the dates to the next cert period. If we were to go from TriWest, which is episodic, to VA Optum bundled, which is episodic, we'd do it right at the cert period. And then it worked out really well.
Excellent. Thank you. Do we have anybody else in the queue with a question?
Hi, this is Jen from Webster County Health Department again. So Penny, that was just talking, and hopefully that was the correct name. So when you switched from TriWest to Optum, since they were both bundled, did you still discharge and readmit?
I think that was Angie.
We did not readmit unless it was like in the middle of a cert period. Then we discharged and we readmitted. If it went from TriWest, which is episodic, to Optum bundled. Of course, if it went from TriWest to Optum non-bundled, you don't have to discharge at all.
Thank you. I had one additional question about payments from TriWest. We had most of ours pay, and then they asked for some money back because they overpaid on something. But then we still have one that is pending, and it's been pending for like several months. Do you have any guidance on whether they're going to pay that, if I should just ask to cancel it, or...
Do you have any TriWest contacts that you could reach out to?
I don't believe so.
Okay. I can, this is Jen from Webster City.
Webster County.
Jen.
Webster County. Okay.
This is Angie again. I'm so sorry to bother you guys, but TriWest, when that has happened to me a few times, and you just call them. So you call the claims department at TriWest, and then they can help you. And the number is 866-651-4977.
Thank you.
Sure.
Did you say 4977?
Yes, 866-651-4977. And they're very helpful. First, I get on the portal, the TriWest portal, and you can get a ton of information about claims on there. But if you can't see the claim there or something and you need more input, then I call claims.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I think we have time for one more question if we have someone in the queue that wants to ask a question. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for getting on the call with us. Omaha VA, Des Moines VA, Iowa City, Shane, Wayne, and all the folks. Our next quarterly call is scheduled for July 28th. We'll ask for questions ahead like we did and get those sent out so the proper folks can have a look at it. I do have some follow-ups. I will get back out to Wayne. And I want to thank everybody today for getting on with us, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, everybody.
Hey Julie, this is Wayne. Can I just ask a favor? If there are specific claim questions, if these could be supplied in the question and answers, I mean the questions
sure.
that you send out, that way I could do some research prior to the call. So maybe I'll have some answers whenever we get on the call.
Absolutely. I'll put that in my email when it goes out next time.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.